Brothers and sisters, thank you for waiting patiently. As a matter of business, can you all hear me okay? We were having trouble with the mic earlier. You can hear me okay? No. Okay. Is that better? Okay, good. I'll make sure we can hear. My name is Bishop Brian Green. I'm the bishop here in the North Canyon 5th Ward, and we are honored to have Ron and his family here to participate in the celebration of life and memorial service for Frida Mae Dan Young. We will begin with an opening hymn, number 309, Love One Another. Following that, the invocation will be given by Randy Young. Our chorister is Kylie Williams, and our pianist is James Endicott. Following memories, we will have Ron give a short talk, and then I will give some closing remarks, and we'll have a closing hymn, I Am a Child of God, and then our benediction will be given by Blaine Jolly.
Frida Mae Dana departed this earth on the 20th of March, 2023, having lived a full life at 85 years. She was born in 1938 to Leland F. Dana and LaRue Kid Dana. Frida's early life was farm life. Then they lived in trailers with her family as her father applied his dump truck business with his brothers in most of the western states. Her family finally kept to the state of Montana, and she filled a mission from 1961 to 63 to Northern California, the Rosehill Mission. Suffering a car wreck, she recovered, but the effects had shortened her mission time. Her attention turned to finding a mate. For this, she moved to Salt Lake City, found a young man, and worked on him for 3 whole years. They married in 1969, which February 10th, which was calculated because that was spring break during my father's senior year. Took up residence in Southern California for Ron's job, and had two boys, Randy and Dana, and an active little girl, Becky. During a family vacation in Salt Lake City, Becky accidentally suffocated and died in July of 1980. She wasn't even 3 years old yet. Free to serve the church and primary relief society, library, helped with her boys on their paper route, and took them to early morning seminary for a few years. She worked at a home called Marisol, just down the street from us, serving severely handicapped children and helping them get ready for the day. Rita was an outstanding artist in oils. She left about 30 canvases. She had her family's green thumb, and each year she had a vegetable garden. She was not afraid to wield a hammer or a saw, and even used a sledgehammer. There was a time when the house that they had bought in Costa Mesa, she wanted the living room to be a little bit larger. The carport had been converted into another room, but the living room was kind of separated from it. So she wanted to take that wall out and have a bigger living room. But instead of discussing that with my father, she hurriedly sent him off to work so she could work for the day without any interruptions. Promptly went down the street, borrowed a sledgehammer, and took out that wall. Ludine says he didn't speak to her. Ludine says she didn't. My dad didn't speak to her for about a week. Okay. In the year 2000, Frieda and Ron moved back to Utah to be closer to family. Frieda had knee surgery in 2013, which went well. Frieda went with Ron on some missions, two to Ukraine, 96 to 2000, one for the church educational system in New Zealand, 2002 to 2003, and one in New York Mission, North Mission, 2006 to 2007. There she prepped a family for four baptisms. Thereafter, she served as a church service missionary at the church headquarters, helping in various areas. She also did indexing and census records, and attended the temple weekly until the year 2020. Soon after, her dementia progressed, and she lived her last 2 years at a rest home with Ron, helping provide care for her. May Frieda be remembered for her patience, her love, and forgiveness. Preceded by her parents and two brothers, Lane, Calvin, and her daughter, Becky, Frieda leaves her husband, Ron, her sons, Randy and Dana, and two sisters, Ludine Jolly and Martha Cook, and one brother, Guy Dana. Frieda donated her body to the University of Utah, which she didn't know about. Okay, I'm sorry, Ludine, I'll talk a little bit about her. My mother was a resilient woman. When she was about 2 years old, she was accidentally left in a boat. She'd fallen asleep and the sun hit down upon her. She got sunstroke and it changed her. When she was on her mission, she had that car wreck which wiped her memory. She had to relearn how to speak, to walk, to talk. And her brain she's had some stroke, but her brain was so resilient. It would find ways to reroute and overcome. It left her a little bit different, a little bit awkward, and which made her fun. She was a great mama growing up, and I couldn't have asked for a better mother. Her resilience is a trait in her that I love, because she was able to overcome things at whatever odds. And that was my mother, Frieda Mae Dana. Yeah. Thank you.
some sharing of memories. Now, for those that it might be easier for, we do have a mobile mic, so you need to just raise your hand there. So Levine, Marva, and Guy.
I'm just going to help my mother. She's going to be 88 this year. Some things that she has shared about her wonderful sister, Frida. If you look at my mom, I'll stand up. She looks quite a bit like Frida. Ron Frida would come visit her at Spring Gardens in Linden, where she now resides. Originally, she grew up in Montana. And the western states, right? I know that my mom went to 35 different schools growing up, so that means Frida went to about that many as well. So they are a resilient family. And this kind of moves as well. There's a lot of love in the Dana family. Frida is the one that, when my mom returned home from her mission, she said, okay, we're going to college. And so they went off to Riggs College, and they had a really good time. So I'm so thankful for Frida that encouraged my mom to go to college. Can you think of anything else? Okay. She can think of something right now.
I'm very sorry about my behavior. 88 isn't the best day. I enjoyed my sister very much. I didn't really get to know her until we went to college. And then she bloomed like a blossom, and I got along with her just fine. She was a helpmate. She's helped me a lot. It's good to be here. It's sure nice that all of you came. It's one of those days that I just don't remember. But I'm glad to be here. Thank you for coming.
Turned to me and Cap, said he,
All cash in this trip, I agree. And if I do, I'll ask that won't refuse my last request. When he seemed so low that I couldn't say no, then he said with a sort of moan, "It's the cursed cold, and it got right tell home until I'm chilled clear through to the bone. Ain't been in bed, its words dread of the icy grave that is so cold. So I want you to swear that foul or faint, you create my last remain. A pale last need is a thing to heed, so I swore I would not fail. And as we started on the streak of dawn and on, he looked ghastly pale. He crouched on the sled and he veiled all a day of his own in Tennessee. And before night fell, a corpse was all that was left of Sam McGee. There wasn't a breath in that land of death, and I hurried hard drive with a corpse half hid that I couldn't get rid because of a promise driven. It was lashed to the sled, and it seemed to say, "For may tax your dawning brains, but you've promised true, and it's up to you to cremate those last remains. Now a promise made is a bet unpaid, and the trail has its own steep code. In the days to come, through my lips were numb, in my heart how I curd the load. In the long, long nights, by the long firelights, I have the husk. Around in a ring, how there goes to the homeless snow. Oh man, how I love the thing. And every day, the quiet day, seemed heavy and heavier grow. And on I went till the days were spent, and the grub was getting low. The tremble's load was bad, and I felt half mad. But I swore I would not give in, and I often sang to the hateful thing, and it break on with a grin, till I came to the marge of Lake Brevard, and there a lick there laid. It was jammed in the ice, and I saw on it tread. It was called the Alice May. And I looked at it, and I thought of it, and I licked my frozen chum. And there, said I, with a sudden cry, is my cremator. Some planks I tore from the cabin floor, and I lit the broiler fire. Some coal I found that I was laying around, and I heaped the fuel higher. The flames were scored and the furnace roared. Such a blast you shall see. And I burrowed a hole in the growing coal, and I stuffed in Sam McGee. Then I made a hike, for I didn't like to hear him sizzling so. And the heavens scorned, and the huskies howled, and the wind began to blow. I don't know why, and the greased smoke in a lean croak went stricken down the sky. I do not know how long in the snow I rested with grisly fear. But the stars came out and they danced about, and I'll just take a peek inside. I guess he's cooked, and it's time I looked when the doors I opened wide. And there Sam looked, cool and calm, in the heart of the furnace roar. And he wore a smile you see a mile, and he said, "Please close that door. It's time, it's fine in here, and I greatly fear you'll let it in the cold. Since I left Plum Tree down in Tennessee, it's the first time I've been warm. There are strange things done in the midnight sun by those who mold the gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales, and that would make your blood run cold. The northern lights have seen queer sights, but the queerest they ever seen was the night on the barge of Lake Brevard that I created Sam McGree." She done this in college in a kind of like a skit, I think. She knew it off by heart. Me, I can't remember more than one paragraph. But my sister to me was my lifeblood. She was my... I had an older sister, but she was gone most of the time. But my sister Frieda helped me to get no voice. there wasn't anything that she wouldn't do for me. Until we all got married and went our separate ways. But we still tried to get together. I love my sister dearly. Thank you.
Before Marva looked at the program, she said, I think you're first and you can talk all you want. Well, I do have a lot here. Yeah, have a couple hours. But as I was showing this to my cousin, he said, kiss. And I said, what? Yeah, kiss. Keep it short, stupid. So I'm going to keep it short. My sister was 10 years older than me. And being very religious, she wanted me to make sure that I knew right from wrong. I was about 5 or 6 years old, and she said, you know, Guy, on this shoulder's a devil, and on this shoulder's an angel. The devil wants you to do bad things, and of course the angel tells you, no, don't do that. Well, that stuck with me. I really believed I had a devil and an angel. I always clean this side real good. But I told this to my cousin David, who's down here today, and I was surprised to see him. I think he was only about 4 or 5 when I told him. And when we had a Dana reunion up at his place years ago, he brought that up, and I said, what? You remember that all these years? And he said, yeah, that scared me. So anyway, the last time I saw my sister was in May, and we'd gone to the Bountiful Temple, or we were going to it, so we stopped to see her when we were going to meet other people there, so we didn't have a whole lot of time to visit. And I knocked on the door at the care home, and Frieda says, who is it? And I said, it's Jehovah Witnesses. She says, can you come back tomorrow? I'm naked. And I said, oh, wait, Frieda, it's me, your brother Guy. She said, what? I said, it's your brother Guy. She says, well, I'm still naked. Can you give me 20 minutes? And I thought, we got to get to the temple here pretty soon. I don't know if I can kill 20 minutes. So we're trying to find Ron. And a maintenance guy was walking by, and my wife said, hey, do you know where we can find Ron Young? She said, oh, he's down in the basement playing the piano. So she went down and got Ron, and he came up and opened the door and kind of helped for you to get everything together. And we got to visit for a while, but then we had to take off. But I thought about, you know, her telling him to come back tomorrow. Well, you know, Frieda being a missionary, I'm sure she was going to have a real good visit with those Jehovah Witnesses. I know when they come to my door in Salem, Oregon, I try to be real nice to them. I thank them for coming and giving you a scripture. I mean, we all believe in Christ, and that's important. And to try to be Christ-like, you don't want to slam the door in your face or say something rude. But, you know, Frieda was like a second mother to me. I learned a lot from her. And when she went off to college, I really missed her. And, of course, when she went on her mission. And then she went and met Ron. Ron was playing a piano, and she got to know him, and after a while, of course, they got married, but then they moved to California, and I was hoping she'd still be in Montana, but we went down to visit after Randy was born. That was in 72, and Frieda had a whole list of things lined up for me to do. So we were there about a week, and it was a good visit. We had a good time down there. But Frieda would get mad at me because I'd missed her birthday. She was born on the 4th of March. She said, "How can you forget my birthday? Just think of March 4th. You were in the military, March 4th. So I remembered it after that. But my mother's birthday was the 1st of September. I had a problem with that too, because all of a sudden, here's September 1st, and I forget her birthday. Thinking, and never did learn a lesson on that one. But, you know, as we get older, we forget a lot of things. And my wife got me some memory pills. But before that, she said, "I'm going to send you to a specialist in Portland so you can start finding out what's wrong." And the day we were going to go, she said, "Why are we going to Portland?" I said, "Maybe the doctor needs to talk to you." So the doctor checked my brain over, and he said, "I can't find anything wrong with you. I mean, you're in your 70s, you're going to have some memory loss." But here recently, she bought me some memory pills. She said, "You take all these." Well, I only had to take 4 a day, just 4, and they were big horse pills. And I kept forgetting to take them, and she kept reminding me. And so I said, "When this bottle's done, no more memory pills. It's not helping." So I haven't had any more. So some of these people I don't really know around here. But it was sad when I heard she had been a car accident on her mission. My folks left immediately to go down there, because she had some brain damage, and we thought maybe she wasn't going to make it. And we prayed and prayed that everything would be okay, and our prayers were answered. And I have a strong testimony with prayer. We don't know when our time is up. We kind of knew with Frieda, in a way that was a blessing, because, you know, I was able to visit and basically say goodbye to her. I'm number 5 of 6 kids, and I've lost both of my brothers to cancer. Of course, my dad and my mother passed as well. And I always told my brothers, and Frieda was really always on my brothers about, "Hey, you got to quit smoking, quit drinking, because you're not going to be on this earth forever. And when you leave this earth, you want to be hidden in the right place." And that really stuck with me. And I also told my brother, I said, "Hey, time is limited." I remember a preacher saying, he brought a rope. Right at the end of the rope was painted white, about this much. And he said, "This white part on the rope, that little bit you see, that's your life here on this earth. The rest of this rope, as far as you can see it, that's eternity." So he says, "It's very important. Live your life on this earth the best you can, because you don't know when your time is up." So that is also stuck with me. I try to help others whenever I see people I need help. They're all my neighbors around me. And Frieda would call, and she was good at calling. Her writing, to begin with, you almost had to have the Urim and Thummim to figure out what she was saying. I'd give it to my wife, and she was, "I can't read it." But then when computers came along and she started printing everything up, damn, it was really made a big difference. I could tell what she was talking about and enjoy her letters. But I know she's in a good place right now. All of the missionary work that she did, I know that she's in a real good place. And I leave these words with you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
see what it's doing.
Did you or Brenda or Blaine want to say anything? At lunch. That sounds great. We'll do it at lunch. We'll do it at lunch.
Oh.
I wish you took it in this board.
Now the people up here say that they want to hear the whole time from me and not from you, but I've been told you to say something because you know her so well, Frieda. I had a joke to tell to begin with, it's a great device, but our time is short, so I won't tell that. After at lunch, if more than three people request it, I'll tell a joke. One of the main characteristics of Frieda was her patience. She was understanding and patient to the world's end, like prayer for her missions. Her right knee hurt. She didn't complain too much, but she went through four whole missions with a sore knee that got a little worse each mission. And finally, after we got back, she waited another 6 years before she had to be replaced. She was patient. She was patient also in letting me feed her once she couldn't feed herself. It was very nice of her. I appreciate her being so patient. I keep thinking of her perfection. She was in great health, except for her mind. 20/20 vision in her eyes. Her heart was in good shape. Her ankles were didn't swell at all. And her digestive system was fine. She was a good specimen that we gave to the University of Utah for their research on bodies and learning. So they had a perfect specimen for research, and I think that's good. But I know that Frieda likes what we're doing here today. She gave me a special little sign inside myself, so I feel that she's here watching us and cheering us on. But I know one question in your mind is, what is it like for a person to die? What's it like when you die? Well, we have an example of a nice lady who wrote one of the hymns, and then a couple of hymns, in her hymn book. She wrote a hymn about consolation and about Jesus Christ helping you find peace. The lady wrote that poem sometime previous to when it was used, and 14 years later it was picked to include the hymn book. But on that 14th year, she had not a disaster, but an experience where an tire iron came to the windshield and hit her in the face and broke 8 bones in her jaw. So she needed the words of her own hymn to buoy her up. She was a writer, and she did a wonderful bunch of books. And after that experience, one of her books says, I know now how it is to die, that my mother and my father will be there to greet me and be joyous. And that's what Frieda did. I think that her father was first in line, and her mother close behind with Rebecca, our little daughter Rebecca, trying to get first also. She had a joyous reunion. And after the joy of the reunion, she turned around and said, I need to tell Ron I'm here. And so outside there was a loud clap of thunder, and a shower is coming, so I know she arrived well. That was her gift to me. After you're in spirit room, in time, after waiting, there will be a resurrection. And resurrection, we talk about it today and say, oh, that's fine, we understand it, but we really don't quite. The people in Jesus Christ's time didn't understand it either. To them, resurrection was like trying to tell somebody what a cell phone does. Or you touch it here, you talk to the person 6,000 miles away, just with a touch. And they would say, what? That's so strange to them, that the apostles, when Jesus Christ came to them after his resurrection, they marveled and said, you were here just last week. And this is a trick. They wondered what really went on, but Jesus Christ did his best to show them that yes, it's not the same person. I know you and you know me, and you know that I'm here now after my death. And that's a strange thing they heard, but they really understand it, and they understand that we all get resurrected. Paul tried to tell us, yes, there was 500 people that saw Jesus Christ after his resurrection. And the Nephites, 2,500 of them saw him too. And whether you have a missing arm like my late grandfather did, or whether your body is wrapped in disease, your body will be restored fully and perfectly. It's wonderful. But that's what we hope for. The scriptures talk about how the resurrection is perfect, how that we don't have any more worries, and it's all peaceful and full of joy. One of our scriptures says, oh, spirit and element, that's spirit and body, inseparably connected, bring a fullness of joy. And that's all we hope for and expect. That's our plan of heaven. And Jesus Christ was very important in that plan because he needed to, rectify what happened to Adam's fall, where we decay, our bodies decay, and we have to die, and we get separated from our bodies and don't have the fullness of joy, but he was able to live perfectly and exercise his right to resurrect his own, or call his own body back. And he was the first person that ever did that. And he explained it to everybody, and he was able to do that because he is our Savior. He was perfect. And for that, we can praise him endlessly. We have 300 hymns in our hymn book that praise him. We need to keep him in mind, like it says in the prayers. We need to remember Jesus Christ every day in everything we do. We need to praise him endlessly. May he ever, ever be praised, is my prayer. In his name, Jesus Christ, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, I'll be brief. I'm a fairly new bishop. I was called in December, and done three of these now. And when I go to work and I tell them how being a bishop is going, and I say, well, I have another memorial service or a funeral today or this weekend, they all say, oh, isn't that hard to do that so often? And it isn't. And I'll tell you why. This has been such a wonderful experience to see people who aren't part of my family or my social group come together to remember and love and revere someone that they knew well and that they look forward to seeing yet again in the future. And it is to me a testimony and a reminder that our gospel is for everyone, and it is about families. The nature of the gospel, the nature of the atonement, the purpose of our time here on earth and the atonement is to give us an opportunity to return as families again. So what we experience here in a funeral or in a memorial service is but a taste of the opportunity that we have to be with each other again, to be happy in those memories, and to be happy in each other's company. So I'm privileged and grateful to have been able to be here for this. I knew Frida for a few years before she went to the care facility. I have vivid memories of her being in my Sunday school class because Frida always bore her testimony. I don't know that I ever taught when she was in my class that she didn't bear her testimony. And it sounds as though that was a part of who she was in all of her life. She certainly believes in this gospel. She believes and knows why she was here and where she was going. And it sounds like she is dragging as many of you with her as she can. This is wonderful. I'm grateful to you for sharing these thoughts and memories and your spirit. We're grateful to have you here with us. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Following the benediction, a luncheon will be served just through these doors here and down the hall, where memories and conversation can continue. So we will now sing "I Am a Child of God," and the benediction will be given by Blaine Jolly.
Opportunity that we have had to gather in this capacity. We thank you for the memories and the thoughts and the laughter that has been shared. We thank thee for the wonderful memories that we have had of this divine lady. We are grateful for the influence that she has had in our lives, for the opportunity that we've had to know her, to associate with her, and to be with her. We are grateful for her life and the wonderful example that she has been. And we look forward in a distant time when we will have opportunity to meet and embrace. Father, we thank thee for the gift of thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are grateful for his perfect life, for his perfect atonement, and for his glorious resurrection, and the opportunity that these perfections provide us to be eternally happy. We close this memorial now in the name of thy Son. We thank thee for the individuals who have helped to arrange the food, flowers, and this service. We pray that they may be blessed for their efforts and service. We ask a blessing to be upon this food that we will partake of, that it may nourish and strengthen and sustain our bodies. And lest we forget, Father, look out, please. Be with Uncle Ron and his beautiful family. May thy peace attend to be with him. And as we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Very well. Very well. Yeah.